భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 67 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ బలరామ్ స్లేస్ ద్విధ గోరిలా. టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 17. ద్విధో అపి మహావీర్యో ద్విధోపి మహావీర్య శాలం ఉద్యమ్య పాణినః అభ్యేత్య తరసాతేన బలం మూర్ధాని అతాదయత్ ద్విధోపి మహావీర్య శాలం ఉద్యమ్య పాణినా అభ్యేత్య తరసాతేన బలం మూర్ధాని అతాదయత్. చలం ఉద్యమ్య పాణిన తరసాతేన ద్విధోపి మహావీర్య శలం ఉద్యమ్య పాణిన అభ్యేత్య తరసాతేన
అపి ఆల్సో మహా గ్రేట్ వీర్య హూస్ పోటెన్సీ శాలం అ సాలిటరీ ఉద్యమ్య లిఫ్టింగ్ అప్ పాణినా విత్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్ అభ్యేత్య approaching tarasa swiftly tena with it balam lord balaram murdhani on the head atadayat he struck. Translation: mighty dvivida also came forward to do battle. Uprooting a shala tree with one hand, he rushed towards Lord Balaram and struck him on the head with a tree trunk. There is no purport to this. We'll continue reading further. But Lord Sankarshan remained as motionless as a mountain and simply grabbed the log as it fell upon his head. He then struck Dvivida with his club named Sunanda. Struck on the skull by the Lord's club, Dvivida became brilliantly decorated by the outpour of blood, like a mountain beautified by red oxide. Ignoring the wound, Dvivida uprooted another tree, stripped it off leaves by brute force, and struck the Lord again. Now enraged, Lord Balaram shattered the tree into hundreds of pieces, upon which Dvivida grabbed yet another tree and furiously hit the Lord again. This tree too the Lord smashed into hundreds of pieces. Thus fighting the Lord, who again and again demolished the trees he was attacked with, Duvida kept on uprooting trees from all sides until the forest was left treeless. The angry ape then released a rain of stones upon Lord Balaram, but the wielder of the club easily pulverized them all. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes, when no more trees were available, Duvida took help from the hills and threw large pieces of stone, like rainfall, upon the body of Balaram. Lord Balaram, in a great sporting mood, began to smash those big pieces of stone into mere pebbles. Even today, there are many sports wherein people enjoy striking a ball or similar object with a stick or bat. This sporting propensity exists originally in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who playfully, Leelaya, pulverized the deadly boulders hurled at him by powerful Duvida. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasandubhyevacha Patyanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees so that we can speak something on this wonderful pastime of Lord Balaram. So this particular pastime of Balaramji that we are seeing here is quite a exciting as well as entertaining as well as a very instructive pastime. Balaramji is fighting with Duvida Gorilla. Of course, in today's time and age, we find such movies and such, you know, fiction coming up very often in the television, where humans fight against, you know, powerful animals, Godzilla, Jurassic Park and whatnot, you know. So all the ideas originate from the Bhagavatam itself, from the scriptures itself, where, you know, here is a powerful ape throwing trees and throwing stones and throwing mountain peaks at Balaramji. So essentially, like it's being mentioned in the purport here, the disciples of Prabhupada are quoting Prabhupada, where Supreme Personality of Godhead, who playfully pulverized the deadly boulders, this is called Leelaya, this is a past part of the pastime of the Lord, and whatever happens as a pastime of the Lord is imitated in human society. So essentially, Today, whatever we find in human society is an imitation of something in the spiritual world. Though we may not know it, we may not realize it. So, in this particular Leela, this particular pastime, there are some very beautiful lessons that we can learn that actually teach us in our own dealings with the Lord. So, any propensity that exists in us, it originates in the Supreme Lord itself. One of the pastimes or one of the games that Balaram teaches us, because Balaramji also represents the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master, one should see contemplation as an intellectual game. That means when we are studying the pastimes of the Lord, it's actually like an intellectual game only, you know, in the sense that every pastime of the Lord, every pastime that we read in the Bhagavatam, in the different scriptures, can actually on an intellectual level give us a lot of material to contemplate. So when we look at the pastimes of the Lord as potential intellectual game for contemplation, then you get a lot from every pastime. And in fact, this is a game where there is no limit how much you can play. Every pastime of the Lord, just like for example, we have been hearing different speakers, different devotees speak about the same pastime of Balaramji fighting a Dvivida gorilla. And every devotee gives the same pastime a different angle, a different way to interpret it, to see it, to learn from it. So essentially, what does Balaramji smashing these trees, fighting with Dvivida gorilla indicate? There is another way to see this whole pastime. This is a pastime where a person who at one point of time was a great devotee of the Lord, who was serving the Lord, now has become the enemy of the Lord. So I would see Balaramji smashing the stones and the trees as guru smashing misconceptions. So just like Balaramji over here is smashing all these trees and stones that are thrown by Dvivida gorilla, people in this world are throwing so many misconceptions on us, so many opinions on us. That means when we are dealing with atheists, when we are dealing with non-devotees, essentially here is an example how the guru deals with, you know, atheistic propaganda, smashing it. So every boulder, every tree that is coming at Balaramji, Balaramji is smashing it with his club. Which essentially means that being followers of Balaramji, being followers of the Krishna consciousness process, it is expected of us to defend Krishna. It is expected of us to defend the devotees of Krishna. So essentially, all of us, in one sense, are also in a war. As preachers, as people who are practicing spiritual life, it is expected that we will come across opposition. At your own homes, you might find people like Dvivida gorilla who are throwing all kinds of boulders on you. Now, most of the times, if you are not equipped with a club like Balaramji, what happens essentially is that you get hit. And then you get bewildered. And you start wondering, why am I practicing Krishna consciousness? And therefore, just like Balaramji was expert in smashing every stone, every tree that is thrown on him, a devotee who is practicing spiritual life with great amount of understanding and knowledge should be able to smash every misconception that comes out to him into bits and pieces. Sometimes it has to be done very sensitively, and sometimes it has to be done very heavily. Prabhupada almost always used the heavy way, because Prabhupada represented Balaramji, he is Adi Guru, he had the power to do it. And nobody gets offended if Prabhupada would do it. But at our level, we may not be able to do the smashing technique all the time, because it's not always that the smashing technique works. But sometimes, in some places, with some people, only one technique works. That is smashing, you know. And I've seen it that whenever the smashing technique is used at the right time, with the right person and the right place, it works. Dvivida gorilla represents a personality who craves attention. If you study the way in which Duvida Gorilla was behaving just before Balaramji started fighting with him, extreme degree of attention craving, showing his teeth, making all kinds of faces, you know, urinating publicly. I mean, these are all things that we find nowadays. Many rock stars, many, you know, pop stars, they do this often, you know. There's one famous rock star, he would actually literally urinate on the public. Can you imagine? And people would go crazy when this fellow would urinate, you know. So the ego craves attention, intense amount of attention. So ego is a phase where good is good only when it gives you attention, and even bad is good if it gives you attention. That means when a person is extremely egoistic, he will do anything to get attention, even if it means doing something good, even if it means doing something bad, as long as it gets attention. Nowadays you find this technique being used by movie stars also. Whenever you find a movie star is accused of some wrongdoing, killing, you know, taking drugs or storing some ammunition and so on and so forth, immediately after that he will start doing some social activities, extreme amount of social activities. So essentially they are not really interested in doing anything good, and neither they are interested in doing anything bad. What they are interested in, getting attention. Whatever gets them attention, they will do it, because the ego craves attention and it thrives on attention. Practically the ego survives on gaining attention. So the ego can actually be a source of motivation, but the ego is a very poor motivator, because the ego needs constant feeding. That means the more you feed the ego, the more it will hanker. The ego is like a perpetual beggar, you know, always begging for more and more and more. So it's constantly wanting attention. So the problem is, whatever you do to the ego, it is never satisfied. So when you feed the ego too much, you struggle out of superiority complex. And when you starve the ego, you suffer out of inferiority complex. So essentially, both ways, either when you suffer superiority complex or when you suffer inferiority complex, you have no peace of mind. So whenever there is ego, there is always disease. That means your mind is never peaceful. So essentially, Duvida Gorilla represents a personality who was intensely egoistic and intensely seeking attention. The problem with attention seekers, or the result of attention seeking, is that the focus is so much on yourself that you can never focus on others. And that was the original problem of Duvida Gorilla in his previous pastime with Lord Ramachandra, where he could not give attention to Lord Lakshman, which he deserved. So the problem with the ego is that you are so much focused on your own needs, interests and concerns, you are so much focused on being attentive to your personal likes and dislikes, that you have no time to focus on others' likes and dislikes. You have no time to focus on serving others. So the ego, the more it is fed, the more it lacks. So in Ram Leela, we find Duvida Gorilla assisting the pastimes of Lord Ram, but at the same time retaining this capacity to wanting self-attention. But at that point of time, he kind of suppressed that desire, you know, for attention. And he continued serving under Sugriv, serving under, you know, Lord Ram. But he did not give attention to Lakshmanji, to Guru. So the same Lakshmanji, when he comes as Balaram in the next incarnation, the same Duvida Gorilla now completely exhibits his true desire, not wanting to give attention to Balaram, not wanting to give attention to Lakshman, but wanting to give attention to himself. So the ego was fully awake at this point of time. And therefore Balaramji had to really take a very stern measure to control the ego of Duvida Gorilla. In fact, this is the role that Krishna does in his pastimes. So in different pastimes of the Lord, Krishna does Balaramji and Krishna, they do different roles. So, in Vrindavan we find that there are two pastimes where Krishna actually dealt with two personalities in very heavy way. And both these pastimes, Balaramji was missing. One is Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Krishna had gone with his friends to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, and they were grazing the cows, and Brahmaji stole away all the calves, the cows and the boys. Balaramji is not present in that particular pastime. And another pastime was the Kaliya Leela, when Krishna was subduing Kaliya. Even in that particular pastime, Balaramji was not present. Both these pastimes essentially indicate mistakes that is done by the devotees in the absence of the Guru, in the absence of the spiritual master. In Brahma Vimohan Leela, we find that the cows, they went away to graze on their own, to have fun on their own, leaving the boys. And the boys were absorbed in their pastimes of eating, they were absorbed in sense gratification, and the cows were absorbed in their sense gratification. And there was no guru to direct their senses in the right place. And therefore, Brahmaji stole away the cows and the boys. And in Kaliya Leela also we find the same thing. Balaramji was missing. It was his birthday. Even Brahma Vimohan Leela was his birthday, and therefore Balaramji didn't go. Every birthday of Balaramji something happens. So, guru's birthday, though it is extremely auspicious and powerful, but when during the birthday of the Guru, you forget the Guru, or you forget the presence of the Guru in your life, and you focus on other things, then something goes wrong. In Kaliya Leela also we find Balaramji doesn't come, and Balaramji is away, sorry, and the boys and Krishna, they were going towards the Yamuna river, and all the boys and all the cows, they run away, leaving Krishna alone. And they run to the Yamuna river thinking that the Yamuna river is going to give them joy, because it is a hot summer season and the water, the cool waters of the Yamuna are very attractive. So the boys and the cows run towards the Yamuna river, leaving Krishna aside. If Balaramji was there, he would have warned them. So essentially, here Balaramji's presence in both, absence in these both pastimes, indicate that when a living entity, when a devotee, he tries to live his life in the absence of the spiritual master, he gets into some illusory world. He gets into some illusory desires to enjoy himself in a very different way. And therefore, Balaramji is needed to wake us up. So we find that Balaramji, in different pastimes, he does different ways of dealing with Krishna and with his devotees. So, the Kaliya pastime is happening, and all the gopis, especially Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, when they reach and Krishna is on the Kaliya snake dancing, even before that he was on the coils of the Kaniya, all the Vrajavasis try to enter the Yamuna river to go and try to save Krishna. But Balaramji actually smiles. He actually prevents the Vrajavasis from going in, because he understands the power of Krishna. He actually saves the lives of the Vrajavasis. But the same Balaramji, when he comes to Kurukshetra, and he finds that Bhima has killed Duryodhan already. Duryodhan is lying down in a completely bad shape. Balaramji, he came to destroy Bhima only. He came to fight with Bhima. So the same Balaramji, in one pastime of Krishna, he saves his devotees, Krishna's devotees. In another pastime of Krishna, he goes to kill Krishna's devotees. Krishna falls at Balaramji's feet and begs forgiveness. He says, please don't, harm my devotees. And the same Balaramji, in Jagai Madai Leela, when he comes to Nityananda Prabhu, and Madai smashes Nityananda Prabhu on his head, Balaramji doesn't fight with Madai. Here, Duvida Gorilla is hitting Balaramji with with the tree on his head, and he smashed Duvida Gorilla again, But in Madai Leela, he doesn't smash Madai. Why? The reason is because the mood of Balaramji has changed over here. So Balramji's mood keeps changing according to the person he's dealing with. So in Vrindavan Leela, when Balramji was dealing with the Vrajavasis, he was in the mood of compassion. He was actually in the mood of Tattvagyan, knowledge of the supremacy of Krishna. So he smiled at the Vrajavasis and told, encouraged them not to go. In Kurukshetra Leela, Balramji was not in the mood of, you know, Tattvagyan, but rather he was in the mood of Guru, trying to protect his own disciple. For the protection of his own disciple, he was ready to, you know, fight with everybody else. And in Madai Leela, Balramji was in the mood of a compassionate Guru. That means for the sake of delivering the world, the Guru is ready to go through any amount of trouble on a personal level. So Balramji assumes different moods according to the need of the hour. And Krishna and Balaram keep reversing roles. In Kurukshetra, Krishna fell at the feet of Balramji to beg him, please don't, you know, kill Bhima. And in Madai Leela, Nityananda Prabhu fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged him, please don't kill Madai, you know. So essentially, Krishna and Balaram, both of them keep reversing roles to show compassion to the fallen souls. Because the fallen souls are always going to do mistakes only. But sometime mistakes have to be corrected in some heavy way. So therefore, sometimes Krishna does the heavy way, and sometimes Balramji does the heavy way. And when Krishna does the heavy way, Balramji becomes a balancer. And when Balramji does the heavy way, Krishna becomes the balancer. So by balancing, they are actually balancing compassion and punishment. That's how the Lord deals with his devotees. If the Lord only deals with punishment, who is going to survive? And if the Lord is only compassionate, who is going to go back to the spiritual world? Therefore, both are needed, punishment and compassion. And therefore, the scriptures explain that one eye of the Lord is the sun and one eye of the Lord is the moon. When he sees with the sun, that means he is seeing with the eye of discipline. And when he sees with the moon, that means he is seeing with the eye of compassion. So here, in this particular pastime, we find Balramji dealing with Duryodhana Gorilla with the eye of the sun. Fire. There is no compassion here. Straight punishment. So, a 1 rupee note, a 10 rupee note, a 100 rupee note, a 1000 rupee note, all are notes only. But each note has different values. Similarly, compassion is compassion only. Everyone's compassion is compassion. But when great souls show compassion, that compassion has a much greater value. So when great souls show compassion, their compassion need not be only through kind words. Their compassion can come through heavy words also, in heavy dealings also. And here we find Duryodhana Gorilla has been struggling with the false ego for huge amounts of time. From Treta Yuga to Dwapar Yuga, he is struggling with the false ego. And Balramji decided, enough is enough. Now we have to really help him deal with the ego. And Balramji takes the heavier side. As Lakshman, he doesn't really bother. He doesn't really, you know, deal with the heavy way. He's kind of in a forgiving manner. Because he waits. This person, at that point of time, Lakshman, though Duryodhana Gorilla was still having some ego, but he was serving the Lord and the mission of the Lord. Therefore, with the ego, when you serve the mission of the Lord is not so heavy. But when you start opposing the mission of the Lord, then the Lord becomes very heavy. So, Duryodhana Gorilla in this particular pastime, he's not just not serving the Lord, he's actually opposing the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. And therefore, Balramji takes a very heavy stance. In dealings in the Vaishnava society, sometimes dealings have to be done in a very compassionate way. And sometimes dealings have to be done in a very stern way. Whenever there is sternness in dealings in a Vaishnava society, many people get bewildered. That time they start quoting Nityananda Prabhu. They said, Nityananda Prabhu is compassionate to Jagai and Madai. Why are we acting so heavy? Why are we being so stern? But before Nityananda Prabhu acted compassionate to Jagai and Madai, the same Nityananda Prabhu in Duryodhana Gorilla Leela, in this particular pastime with Duryodhana Gorilla, he acted very stern also. Why? Because here we find that between Jagai and Madai, in this particular pastime, at least there was some one of them who was trying to assist the pastime of the Lord. assist the mission of the Lord. At least one of them got sense. So Nityananda Prabhu felt there is possibility that the other one also change. And therefore, he wanted to use these two people, or rather transform these two people in assisting the mission of the Lord. But in Dvaita Gorilla, in this particular pastime, we find that Dvaita Gorilla had no desire to serve in the mission. He only had a desire for self-aggrandizement. And whenever there is a desire for self-aggrandizement and absolutely no desire to serve in the mission, there has to be dealing that has been done very sternly. There are a couple of things that we can learn from this whole pastime of Dvaita Gorilla. The first thing that we can learn is that how one should not enjoy his guru's property, but rather respect it and worship it and use it in guru's service. Dvaita Gorilla was trying to enjoy Balaramji's property. All the gopis who were performing pastimes with Balaramji, Dvaita Gorilla was trying to go and enjoy them. So many times it happens that when one is serving under the spiritual master, you get the facilities, and rather the property of the spiritual master is also your property in one sense. But the moment you consider the spiritual master's property your property to enjoy, that's when problems start. That's when there has to be some heavy dealings happening. Because spiritual master's property is spiritual master's property only. You may utilize that property to serve the spiritual master in a better way. But when you misappropriate that property, when you use that property for your own pleasure, that's when the spiritual master becomes heavy and dealings have to be done in a very heavy way. So Dvaita Gorilla represents that disciple or that person who was trying to enjoy the property of the spiritual master. The one who was trying to disrespect the property of the spiritual master rather than worshipping it. In the recent times, we find the life of King Shivaji. There's a very interesting story about how he had a dealing with his own spiritual master, Ramdas. And this story really brings out a very beautiful quality of a good disciple. One time as Shivaji was coming back to his palace one afternoon, he saw his guru begging, standing on somebody's door and begging for some food. And immediately the first thought that came in his mind is, why is my guru begging? So Ramdasji, he would go to different houses different days and beg for food. Though he was the guru of the king, he never really took advantage of that. He never really took anything from the king. So he would go out to different houses to beg. And one day Shivaji saw him standing in front of one house. The first thought that struck him is, I want to make sure that my spiritual master never begs. So he's thinking like this. So every day in the afternoon, he would come back at the same time, because he knew that his spiritual master was begging alms at the same time in that locality. And every day he would come at the same time to have darshan of his guru. One day, his guru came to his own palace to beg. So Ramdasji would not make differentiation whether he is begging in a poor man's house or in a palace of a king. He would just go begging randomly in different places. So one day he came to the house of the palace of Shivaji to beg. And when he came to Shivaji's place to beg, the mother of Shivaji, she came and gave some charity, alms. And along with his mother, Shivaji also came, and he gave a letter in the hand of Ramdasji. So his guru told him, you only read the letter. So Shivaji opened the letter. He was feeling very embarrassed to read the letter in front of his guru, but he read it. In that letter it was written, so Shivaji had written to his guru, that from today onwards, all my property I donate to you. So when Ramdasji heard this, he started laughing. He said, what will I do with it? So Shivaji said, it's yours, you can do whatever you want with it. Ramdasji said, I can't rule. Do you think I am qualified to rule the kingdom? Shivaji said, you are all powerful, you can do anything. So Ramdasji said, if this is my property, I give my property back to you and you rule on my behalf. And Shivaji became so happy. He just wanted to hear that. The same evening he went and put a saffron flag, because he wanted to show the world that this property belongs to my guru and I am ruling this kingdom on his behalf. Essentially, that's exactly the mood of a good disciple, where a good disciple is thinking that whatever I have, whatever is in my possession, is my guru's property, is Krishna's property, which is given to me to take care of and to use in Krishna's service, in guru's service. So it's not that we don't have the facility, but we do not use the facility for our own enjoyment, but rather we use that facility to facilitate Krishna's enjoyment and the spiritual master's enjoyment. And that's what life is. In essence, pleasure and pain are actually navigators of human behavior. So here, Duryodhana the gorilla is seeking pleasure on a personal level. And because he was seeking pleasure on a personal level, his behavior was weird. So as soon as you seek pleasure for yourself, your behavior becomes non-Vaishnava. And that's what Duryodhana the gorilla represents. Dealing with a guru in a non-Vaishnava way, in a non-devotee way. Why? Because Duryodhana the gorilla now was concerned about his own pleasures. And therefore, when a person is concerned about his own pleasures and pains, his behavior changes accordingly. The second thing that we learn from the Duryodhana the gorilla is that how one should not treat the guru as an ordinary person and neglect him. The previous leela of in the Ramayana, we find Duryodhana the gorilla treating Lakshman like an ordinary person and neglected Lakshman. And therefore, we understand that when we treat the guru may be living amongst us, the great devotees may be living amongst us, but just because they're living amongst us doesn't mean that they are us or they are a part of us. They are way apart from what we can ever perceive in our personal lives. And therefore, we need to understand what is the difference between well-wisher and well-wishing and blessing. So, when you throw a stone, stones can be thrown in different ways. You can pick up a stone and throw it with your hand. How much ever, depending on the weakness or the strength of your hand, it has power. If a weak hand throws a stone, how much it can really create an impact. But if the same stone is put into a catapult, into a sling, and you throw that stone with a sling, it goes with much more powerful force. Similarly, good wishes are like stones thrown with a weak hand, and blessings are like stone thrown with a sling. The power is much, much greater. Therefore, when we realize that the great devotees of the Lord, the spiritual master, has the power to give us blessings, it may appear to be like well-wishing only. But the difference between well-wishing and blessing is that well-wishing, it cannot impact us as much as blessings can impact us. So when we treat guru as an ordinary person, we miss out on that blessing. The third thing that we can learn from Duryodhana the gorilla is that one should not argue with the guru. Duryodhana the gorilla, throwing all these different boulders and different trees, is actually like a disciple throwing arguments at his guru. We find in today's time and age, the disciple feels that he's greater than the spiritual master. The disciple feels he's more knowledgeable than the spiritual master. Just because he has some extra power, he has some extra abilities, he has some extra intelligence, doesn't make him more powerful than other devotees and the spiritual master. So Duryodhana the gorilla was trying to argue with Balaramji by throwing stones. We may argue with our spiritual master by throwing our opinions. How much powerful our opinions are, ultimately the guru's opinions are much more powerful than ours. Because the guru doesn't think from a mundane perspective. He is thinking from a much higher perspective. He is seeing the world from a much higher perspective. And therefore, one should learn not to argue with the guru. One time, Shankaracharya, he had a very dull disciple. But this disciple had a great amount of love for his spiritual master. Without love for guru, knowledge is not possible. So, Shankaracharya, he loved this disciple very much, though he was very dull. And the reason he loved his disciple was because this disciple was extremely, extremely having a lot of love and affection for his guru, and had a great desire to serve his guru. So every day when Shankaracharya would take classes, he would wait for this dull disciple to come before he starts. And inadvertently every day this dull disciple would be late, because somehow he would be caught up in some seva, and by the time he finished the seva and came to the class, he would be late. And all of the disciples who are very scholarly, very intelligent, they would be fed up of this dull disciple and they would make fun of this dull disciple. Late again. Where were you? They would really make fun of this disciple. And this disciple would never ever retaliate. He would just keep quiet, say sorry and sit down and hear. So one day this disciple, he came earlier than regular. So Shankaracharya was surprised that he came earlier. So disciple came to Shankaracharya, and he started crying, saying that I am so dull and useless that I am fit for nothing actually. So he is feeling very bad that he was not able to give any glory to the spiritual master by his intellectual contributions. So Shankaracharya, he asked him to open his mouth, and this disciple opened his mouth, and on the tongue of this disciple Shankaracharya wrote Om with a stick. And from that moment onwards, this disciple became extremely intelligent. All his ignorance vanished. And eventually this disciple went to the river to have a bath, and all other friends, all of the other disciples of Shankaracharya were there. They were as usual making fun of him. They said, so you have become the most favorite disciple of a guru, so why don't you compose some new poem? And this dull disciple, he composed such poetry that all of them were completely floored. They went and asked him, what happened overnight? Suddenly how you became so intelligent? And this boy, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, service to spiritual master. By serving the spiritual master, knowledge has descended into my life. And therefore, we find that when we unnecessarily argue with the spiritual master, unnecessarily argue with great Vaishnavas, throwing our opinions like boulders on them, they can definitely smash it. But the result of that is that we do not get their blessings the way we are supposed to get. The fourth thing that we can learn from Duvida Gorilla is that Duvida Gorilla had dual role. The word Duivida means two, dual. So Duvida Gorilla was playing dual roles in his life. Initially, he served the Lord. He served Lord Ram in his pastimes. And then the same Duvida disrespected the Lord. So essentially, this is the nature of a conditioned soul. The same conditioned soul, at some point of time, he has so much respect for the same conditioned soul, and another point of time, he has absolutely no respect. So essentially, just like this particular Leela, where in Mahaprabhu's pastimes also, we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chastise anybody who gave him a lot of respect but did not respect Nityananda Prabhu. Similarly, here we find that Duvida Gorilla had a lot of respect for Lord Ram. He had a lot of respect for Krishna, but he had no respect for Balramji. He had no respect for Lakshman. When you respect the Lord but you don't respect the representative of the Lord, you are actually disrespecting the Lord only. And therefore, we find that this dual role that Duvida played is not acceptable. Though you may have done a lot of service to Krishna, but if you render disservice to the spiritual master, if you render disrespect to the spiritual master, it's not acceptable. And therefore, Duvida represents great pride in one's own abilities, skills, powers. And proud people, they tend to laugh at others. Duvida, he came, started laughing at Balramji, started making fun of Balramji, started really, you know, embarrassing Balramji with his laughter. And as we know, Balramji doesn't like people laughing too much, you know. In this pastime with Kalinga, the king of Kalinga and Rukmi's palace, they were playing gambling. And this fellow, this king of Kalinga, he would unnecessarily laugh. He had some crazy, you know. So Balramji kept looking at him, looking at his teeth, smiling, laughing too much, you know. And then at some point of time, Balramji couldn't tolerate it. He smashed his, you know, mouth with his mace, with his gada, and this fellow lost all his teeth. So here, when one is very proud and laughs at others, Guru does not like it. Guru does not like. And we find, you know, so many times great devotees, in my own personal dealings with His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, I have seen this, that whenever in front of him, whenever you are talking ill about somebody else, or whenever you're trying to find fault of somebody else, instantly you find his face changes. All the contours of his face changes. He becomes like intensely angry. That's the time I remember this particular Leela, you know. When you make fun of somebody else in front of Guru, the Guru gets intensely angry. Interestingly, Duvida Gorilla, he also had, between Lord Ram's pastimes and Balramji's pastime, there was another instance where there's another leela that happened in Kishkindha only, where the monkeys, they were living in Kishkindha. Duryodha is one of the four monkeys that lived with Sugriva on the mountain of Rishimukha. And after the Ram Leela happened, Sugriva went in another direction. Hanumanji went to Gandhamadana mountains. So Duryodha gorilla and one more monkey, Mainda, they were living on that mountain only. And as this Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj, the horse was going around, it came to this area also, to the south. And the monkeys actually saw Sahadev, and they actually fought with Sahadev. And Sahadev fought against the monkeys like Mahinda, Duryodha for 7 days. And for 7 consecutive days the fight was on, and none of them got exhausted. And ultimately, the monkeys realized that Sahadev is, you know, a personal associate of the Lord. And they actually handed over the jewels to Sahadev, and Sahadev went ahead. So essentially what we find is that in Kishkindha, by this time, so Kishkindha during the time of Lord Ram was a very, very powerful kingdom. But by the time the Mahabharata time happens, the whole power of Kishkindha slowly decreases. And Kishkindha becomes like a non-existent kingdom, just 2-3 people, you know, that's it. And even they are not able to fight against Sahadev. So essentially what this shows us is that no matter how powerful a human being may be, over a period of time, that power vanishes. The power decreases. So you may be powerful at this point of time. You may have a great amount of intelligence at this point of time. But without the blessings of the great devotees of the Lord, your power cannot continue forever. And therefore, just like Duryodha Gorilla here, we find Balramji really chastising him and dealing with him in a very heavy way. Similarly, we find that the spiritual master deals with a disciple who has deviated, or a disciple who behaves in an indisciplined way, in a heavy way. And therefore, just like what we saw in Duryodha Gorilla's Leela, we need to be very careful of our dealings with the spiritual master. Just summarizing 4 things that we learnt. One is how not to enjoy Guru's property, but respect it and worship it and use it in Guru's service. How not to treat Guru as an ordinary living entity and neglect him. And how not to argue with the Guru too much, otherwise the Guru smashes your arguments and rather you lose out on the blessings also. And finally, Duryodha means the one who plays dual role. One is serving and one is disrespecting. You may serve Krishna, but if you disrespect the Guru, that is not acceptable. And that is definitely punishable. So, with this I would like to end over here. If there's any questions or comments we can take. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Very grateful I got an opportunity to serve you all in this way. If I've spoken anything that is useful, please bless me. And if I've spoken anything that beyond my realization, please forgive me for that. Thank you very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.